We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like your boy Foch, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Whether you were Tyrese Haliburton dealing with a hamstring injury that took time to get back to normal, this is why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Setting the Pace. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or as we like to call it, EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you're going to want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in the United States or Canada, it doesn't matter. There's hundreds of other locations across the globe. Access to a center is easy and affordable. How much cash you got on you? Oh, doesn't matter. I bet you could afford Unified Healing and what the EE system is bringing to the table. Now, if you're interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/pace to learn more and find a center near you. That is UNIFYD healing.com/pace. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
And baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits the three in the roster to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
It down!
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting
like
the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the Pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
What is going on, Pacer Nation? Welcome back to another episode here of your go-to Pacers podcast, Setting the Pace. I'm your host, Alex Golden, and I'm joined today by the beat writer, I guess you could say, the lead writer from Pacers.com, Weed Hotchkiss. Weed has been covering the Pacers for how long now?
This is my 12th season now. Yeah. 10 years full time with the team. So yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I see him all the time in the media room. We talk, we have small conversations and little things like that. But I know Wheat knows this stuff very detailed with everything. And if you're not following Wheat on Twitter, make sure you guys do that, because Wheat's always putting out very good team friendly stats that kind of help you understand like how significant these, you know, records are that the Pacers are breaking, because we've had quite a few this year. So the playoffs, it's still a bit of a headache. There's so much I can go on. And so Wheat's here to help me break that down today. But since you've been covering this team for 12 years, I'm kind of curious, this team as it is right now, where does it rank amongst other teams that you've covered?
I mean, this is a fun team. I think it's hard to, you know, compare across eras, but I think when you look at how young this team is, how fast they play, especially contrasting it to even some of the more successful Pacers teams in my tenure that were just slower teams that were going to grind it out and really beat you defensively. To see a team that plays this up-tempo, has this dynamic in offense, has a playmaker at point guard like Tyrese Halliburton, who really, like, I don't think the franchise has ever had a playmaker like that at the point guard position in franchise history. So it's a fun group. They're young, but you've got a nice mix of some guys, some veterans that have a little bit of playoff experience that are helping lead that locker room. And hopefully they get into the playoffs here and can make some noise. But I think the future is really bright with this team. So there's a lot for Pacers fans to look forward to.
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting year. There's been a lot of injuries, a lot of ups and downs with, you know, guys getting traded, guys being in and out of the lineup. And so this team, you know, sitting here as they currently are in the sixth seed with a chance to kind of move up in the standings too, is all very exciting, very interesting, and definitely a very different place than where they were last year, because they were in a rebuild. They were trying to lose games or develop players so they could get a better draft pick. And now this time around, you're wanting to win every single game, and it's coming down to the last few games of the week to determine things. And I think that's great for the league to make sure that there's competitive basketball from game one to game 82. So let's talk about that, because going into Monday night, there was still a chance the Pacers could jump all the way to the two seed. Now, just for clarification, as you know, we're recording this Wednesday night at 7:30. So games that are being played tonight, we won't know the results of that. But based on what happened on Tuesday night, could the Pacers move up to the second seed?
So it was always pretty much a dream, a long shot. The two seed is officially off the table because both Milwaukee and Orlando won yesterday. So the only scenario that you could get where the Pacers could potentially tie for a second at the end of the season, because Milwaukee and Orlando play each other, would involve them having the same record as the Pacers, at least being in a three-way tie. And if you get into a three-way tie, what it comes down to is people forget about this because the standings never show it anymore, but division winner gets precedence. So the Pacers would actually win the Central Division, which is pretty cool, be the first time since 2013-14, because they would have the tiebreaker over Milwaukee, but Orlando would win the Southeast Division. And so that takes out the Bucks completely, and then it's just the Pacers versus the Magic head-to-head. And in that scenario, the Magic won the season series. So the Magic would be the two seed. The Pacers would be the three seed. So three seed is the highest the Pacers can go right now. But two seed, it was fun to have a chance at the two seed entering the last week of the season. I don't think anyone, even the most optimistic fan, maybe thought that that was possible coming into the year. Mm-hmm. Three seed is still on the table, anywhere from three, four. Four is pretty realistic. Five is pretty realistic at this point. So there's a lot of possibilities.
Gotcha. Well, I thought the Magic lost last night to the Rockets. I think the Knicks beat who did the Knicks play last night? I can't remember.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it was Milwaukee winning. I misspoke. Yeah, the fact that Milwaukee won means that the only way that Milwaukee can tie with the Pacers in record is by losing out. And if they do that, they play the Magic twice. So that means the Magic would only lose one more game, which would mean they'd all have 34 losses and they'd all be tied together. So
that makes sense. Okay. I was just trying to make sure we clarify that, because I want to make sure that we're not causing any more confusion for our listeners, because it is very interesting to see. But the Pacers still have a chance to win the division. Like you said, Milwaukee 48 wins, Indiana 46. And if I understand correctly, because of the tiebreaker, Indiana has beat them 4-1 this year, so they would easily win that. The Cleveland tiebreaker is where it gets interesting now, because Indiana would be tied with Cleveland if they somehow lost this game. And I think that it would be unattainable for Indiana to even catch Milwaukee either if they lost. So the Pacers have to win out and Milwaukee has to lose out for there to be a chance at the division. But in terms of that and how that would all play out, it's interesting because the division winner, does that matter for anything in terms of like the seeding wise, in terms of like 1 through 8?
It only comes into play as a tiebreaker. So okay. If you're tied with another team that didn't win their division, then they don't even look at head-to-head. Division winner gets the tiebreaker. So that's the only place it comes into consideration. So if, for instance, because Boston's run away with the Atlantic, if the Pacers were the division champ and they were in a tie with the Knicks, they already have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Knicks. But because the Knicks wouldn't have won that division anyways, they would also trump the Knicks on that front as well. So.
Mm. So, yeah, it's just interesting. So it wouldn't really matter. They're like, let's just say, like, I feel like there's been some years, and maybe it's just me forgetting how everything played out, where, like, the 5 seed was the division winner, and then they had home court advantage against the 4 seed. I feel like that's happened.
Yeah, there used to be – they changed it probably, I want to say, like 6, 7 years ago. Okay. It used to be that the division winner was locked into getting home court in the first round. I think that they could be like seated below 4th, but they still would get home court. They changed that rule, which is nice because there's been years where like the Southeast division in particular, like that, the winner of that division has been 7th or 8th in the conference. But yeah, division winner only, it's a weird thing because we don't think about it really all season long. And then this last week of the season, it comes into play for tiebreakers. So.
Right. So, okay. So the 2 seeds out of the picture, now moving to the 3 seed, there's a lot of different scenarios that could happen here for the 3 seed. So, we can slowly walk through these if you want to. New York's there right now. They're 47-32. Indiana, 46-34. Indiana does have the tiebreaker over New York. Cleveland, they're the 5 seed. They're 46-33. Indiana, if they beat them, would have the tiebreaker over them. And Orlando, like you said, the Magic already have that tiebreaker established. But let's just say, you know, what are some of the scenarios here in terms of different types of tiebreakers that could come into play here?
Yeah, so for the 3 seed, realistically, what you're looking at is the Pacers need to win out. If they win out, that takes care of Cleveland because you're going to have the tiebreaker on Cleveland. You need the Knicks to lose twice because the Knicks have 2 less losses at the moment. So the Knicks have to lose 2 of their final 3 games. And you need the Magic to lose twice because the Magic have 1 less loss. But if the Magic are in that tiebreaker, they're going to come out on top, even if it's a multi-team tiebreaker. The Magic were 3-1 against the Knicks as well. So if it's a tiebreaker with the Pacers, Magic and Knicks, that doesn't turn out well for the Pacers. I mean, they'd finish 2nd. They'd still be the 4 seed. But you want Orlando to lose twice. They drop below you in the standings. And then if you're in a tie, whether it's with just New York or if it's with New York and Cleveland, the Pacers win that. So they would be the 3 seed. There is the small chance, too, of that scenario where if the Bucks lose out, you could end up, like I was talking about, in that 3-way tie with the Bucks, Magic, and the Pacers if the Knicks really fell off. In that case, the Pacers would also be the 3 seed because Orlando would win the tiebreaker and they'd be the 2 seed. Mm. So that's a scenario as well. But I think the more realistic one is Pacers winning out, 2 losses by the Knicks, 2 losses by the Magic.
Is there any scenario where the Pacers, Knicks, Magic, and Bucks could all be tied with the same record?
I do not think so because of
Orlando
and Milwaukee playing twice. I think that rules it out. But even if they were in that scenario, it would be the same thing where it would be the division winners.
Right.
So it would be Orlando would be on top in that tiebreaker. The Pacers would be 2nd, and then it would come down to head to head between Milwaukee and the Knicks.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's kind of wild how many different scenarios there are. So looking at the 5-6 seed here, because the Pacers only have to win 1 more game to guarantee themselves a top 6 spot. They've got Cleveland on Friday. Is that correct?
So that is a tricky scenario. And this is where the division tiebreak comes in play. Almost certainly if they win 1 more game, they're in. There is a weird scenario where if they win 1 more game, the Heat win out and the Magic lose twice, so the Magic end up with 35 losses, and there's a 3-way tie with Indiana, Miami, and Orlando. Then in that scenario, you would do the division tiebreaker again, but in this case, Miami beat Orlando 3 out of 4 times. So Miami wins the division. Miami finishes top in that tiebreaker, and then it's Orlando versus Indiana head-to-head. The Magic won that. So that would bump the Pacers into the play-in. That's kind of the nightmare scenario. I don't think it's very likely at all. If you look at Miami's schedule, Miami's playing Dallas tonight. Like that's a tough game right there. Miami would have to win out in that scenario, but it's a possibility. So that's why you want to just take care of business and win both these last two.
Yeah, or you just need Orlando to win enough games, right? So that's definitely interesting. I'm glad you cleared that up because I kind of heard there was some like rumblings the Pacers could still somehow fall in if they went 1-1. So Pacers really just need to win out for everything to kind of play in their favor. So is there a scenario where the Cavaliers could fall into the play-in?
Yeah, I think that's on the table right now. If you look at them, they have 33 losses, so they're two games clear of Philly and Miami right now. They're playing tonight. They're playing Memphis, and their last game is against Charlotte. So they would have to lose at least twice in there. They could lose to the Pacers, obviously, but I don't think it's super realistic that they lose both of those games. But if they do, head-to-head, they went 2-2 against the Sixers, so that would come down to conference record. But they went 1-3 against the Heat, so they would lose a head-to-head tiebreaker with the Heat. Mm-hmm. So there's a scenario potentially if the Cavaliers stumble here that they could fall into the play-in.
All right. So I really think the most interesting games coming up for everybody involved, I think the big ones you got to look at is Orlando playing Milwaukee twice, Orlando playing Philadelphia still, and then Indiana playing Cleveland. I think those are the ones you really want to keep an eye on. I know New York has some tough games in there too. I think they have Boston, right? They have Boston tomorrow, Brooklyn and Chicago, which, you know, those all could be interesting games. I mean, the Nets are not playing for anything, but they don't have draft picks either. So we've seen the Pacers lose to that team because Noah Clowney got hot. You just never know. So it's weird things like that. And we saw last night, you know, the Pacers struggled early on in that first quarter. It's just one of those things where you just can't ever rule anybody out. But basically those are like the four key games, I would say. And, you know, Philadelphia, Orlando, I think that could be bigger than people realize in terms of what that means. I don't know what their head-to-head record is, but let's just say Orlando loses out. Orlando could find themselves the division winners potentially, right? Unless Miami passed them. But Orlando could still win the division almost and still be like a 7 seed.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't remember the standings being this close. When you look at 2 through 8 is really like still up in the air right now. Like this is pretty unprecedented. And it didn't look like it was going to be like this as early as a week ago. You know, it looked like Milwaukee had a pretty firm grip on the 2 seed and they've stumbled a little bit and it's kind of opened the door. And Philly was looking like they're kind of stuck in the 8th, and now they've got Embiid back and they've reeled off a couple wins and they've moved up. And so it's really interesting. It's an interesting time because it's one of those things where, you know, in certain years, like maybe like teams can like see what matchup they would get and maybe they try and like aim for a specific seed because they really like a matchup. You really can't do that this year because you have no idea who you're going to be matched up with, how these other games are going to go. I think if you look at, I use playoffstatus.com is a really helpful site for this. So they calculate the percentages of each matchup for the first round opponent. So right now it says there's a 31% chance that the Pacers would play the Cavs in the first round, 22% chance they'd play the Knicks, 18% chance it's the Bucks, 14% chance it's the Magic. And then there's, you know, 5% chance of the Celtics if they were to fall into the play-in, 3% chance for both the Heat and the Sixers. So it's really wide open. You know, there's four realistic opponents right now that the Pacers could have in the first round. And we're really probably not going to know until Sunday who it's going to be. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so exciting, because I know like those 1 o'clock tip-offs are so bizarre. Like they're so early, and I feel like these guys probably might, you know, it's just going to be weird knowing that this is like so much on the line potentially for this game. So to kind of simplify everything, it's really hard to predict where the Pacers will fall, where they'll fall, but they need to basically just win the last two games of the season and control their own destiny and not rely on other teams to lose, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you win these two games, you're for sure in the playoffs. You don't have to worry about the play-in, which I think is a big thing to avoid that. You win these last two games, you control your destiny to be the 5 seed at minimum, because you would get that tiebreaker over the Cavs. And then you just need a little help to get the 4 seed, and you'd have home court in the first round, which is something that I think any Pacer fan would be really excited about. It's been a while since the Fieldhouse has hosted playoff basketball. It's been since really, I mean, there was a one play-in game in that 2020-21 season. But that was during COVID and it was limited attendance. And so you're going back to the 2019 playoffs since the Fieldhouse has hosted a playoff game. I know fans are excited to be back in there to have that building rocking. I have it full. So I think home court would be really cool if they could get the 4 seed. And I think it's really realistic if you win these two games. You just need a little help and the 4 seed's on the table. So
yeah, and that would be really exciting. I mean, I know that you probably would like to avoid Boston in the second round if you can, but no one's going to, you know, be asking for too much here. I think people are just excited to see the Pacers in the playoffs. So just real quick to go back to the one scenario where they could fall into the play-in game if they go 1-1 over the next two games. You said they need Miami to basically lose one of those games, but did you also say that if Orlando wins one of those games that it would be, or would they have to win two?
Orlando would technically need to win two games because you just don't want Orlando to lose exactly two. So even if Orlando lost out, like it's probably off the table. You would want, but if Miami loses one game, that scenario is out the window. So Miami's playing Dallas tonight. Be a Mavs fan for one night, Pacers fans, and if the Mavs win this one, then we don't have to worry about that scenario, and then Pacers can win on Friday and they're in.
Yeah, it looks like the Mavericks kind of pretty much have the 5 seed locked up, right?
Yeah, the West is wild too. So yeah. I think they're pretty firmly in that 5 seed right now. I don't know if they could maybe slip to 6 or maybe go up to 4, but I don't know how much they're playing for at this point, but everyone's obviously trying to get ready for the playoffs. So.
Yeah, so you just need Dallas to kind of pull this one out, make it a lot simpler. Pacers can go 1-1. So if they do have a slip-up in Cleveland, it's, you know, a lot of pressure to win that game against Atlanta, but this is a team you've also beat 3 games in a row. Will Atlanta play everybody? Because I think their fate will probably be decided at that point in terms of, like, where they're at, because I think they're a game back of Chicago. You just never know. Like, they could be fighting for that home court advantage, too, at the 9-10 for the first play-in game. So, I mean, it is just wild. I think that, like, every game is significant, and that's why I think people kind of undersold how bad that loss was to Brooklyn last week, because if the Pacers just have one extra win, like, how much more simpler is the standings for the Pacers in terms of avoiding the play-in? Like, right now, they've kind of put themselves in this really weird spot because they've lost a handful of games all season long that they probably should have won based on, if you look at their record and on paper, overall talent. It's just they've had a lot of letdowns this season against some of the lesser teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. And that, like, also, like, the in-season tournament, they got an extra game. They got a 5th game against Milwaukee and a 5th game against Boston, and they won both of those games, you know? Yeah. So it's one of those weird things where – it just goes to show in this league, I think you got to be ready for any opponent, and you never know who's going to show up, and you can win on any night, you can lose on any night, but I think it's a thing fans should be excited about for the playoffs, is that they've been competitive with the best teams in the league. You know, they've beat almost all of them. They've had a lot of success against them. So if you get into a series, I don't think there's a particular opponent that this team is necessarily afraid to face. I think they're ready for all of it. And really, if you look across the landscape of the East, aside from Boston, you know, like Milwaukee, like Who knows what's going on with Giannis right now? Donovan Mitchell's been hurt in Cleveland. The Knicks don't have Julius Randle. Like, there's a lot of question marks with a lot of these teams. And so I think once you get in a series, you can be competitive with anyone.
Yeah, how do you think that Milwaukee team gets, you know, drastically changed around now without Giannis? Probably in the lineup. I know they already ruled him out for the next three regular season games. But if that lingers into the playoffs, how I mean, I know it's a huge loss, but like, how drastically different does it make that team look?
Yeah, I mean, it's a drastically different team. I mean, I think the one thing that they can fall back on is that they haven't had in the past is they've still got Damian Lillard there. Yeah. So, I mean, he's carried teams in the playoffs before. They can just run the offense more around him. But who knows what this injury is going to be? I mean, it's essentially like very similar to the injury that Tyrese had earlier this year that only sidelined him for, you know, maybe 10 days. But I think, you know, like he was still feeling some of the effects of it for a little while. So who knows what's going on there? I mean, you look at Cleveland, you look at Mitchell too, like he's played six games. He's playing tonight, but he's played six games since March 1st. He scored 20 points in one of them. So there's some stars that have some question marks on some of these other East teams. And it's going to be interesting to see how everyone's health really is going into mid-April.
Yeah. And not to play, you know, not to go back and have revisionist history, but I am kind of curious if there is maybe one game on the schedule from the Pacers and like a loss they took, is there one that kind of sticks out that maybe you wish you could have back if you're a Pacer fan?
I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, the one that comes to mind is the Bulls game with the DeRozan missed free throw and the buzzer beater forcing overtime. I mean, I think that's one that you can instantly think of because, I mean, they literally were like a split second away from winning that game. But, you know, I mean, that's going to happen over the course of 82 games. That happens pretty much every year. If you look over it year over year, you know, there's a game that slips away in the final minutes. There's a game where there's a crazy shot at the buzzer. DeRozan's done it a couple times to the Pacers over the last couple of years. So that's going to happen. I think Rick Carlisle's done a good job with this team of getting them to focus and move on to the next one. I think they don't dwell on losses very much, which I think for a young team, I think sometimes that can be problematic. You know, they haven't had many long losing streaks. They've been up and down, but they generally bounce back. And right now they're playing well. You know, they've won three in a row. They're riding high going into the playoffs. If you can go into the playoffs on a 5-game win streak, I mean, I think you'll enter the playoffs with a lot of confidence. So we'll see what happens.
What have you noticed from this team? Really, the second half of the season, I guess ever since Mathurin's injury, I know they're, 11-6 now since Mathurin went down with that injury, kind of been able to figure out how to play without him. Different guys have stepped up. I mean, what have you seen personally from this team without Mathurin and kind of how they've played in the last month or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind is just like the level that TJ McConnell is playing at is just tremendous off the bench. And just to have a guy like coming in, you know, like that's Mathurin has been like that sixth man role for a lot of his time. I know he had been starting a little bit after Buddy was traded, but to have TJ's really like taken that over and he's playing the best basketball of his career. You know, he's a 9-year veteran and I've never seen him play at this level. He's getting that point with the fans too, where it reminds you a little bit of Lance, where when he goes to the scorer's table, you hear that little buzz in the arena and people start to get excited before he even checks into the game. So he's been playing great. I think they've gotten better at integrating Siakam. You know, that was going to take some time. He's been really consistent. He's been really solid. You know what you're going to get from him there. Miles Turner's had a really quietly good season again. He's still shooting the ball great, even with the injured finger, which I don't know how he's doing it, but that's impressive. And then I think one guy that's been underrated from my perspective is really Obi Toppin, just the way that he's embraced like going back to the bench after the Siakam trade. There's a lot of young guys in his position who maybe would sulk a little bit, would maybe be a little hurt by the fact that they brought in another guy at that position that you thought you were the starter at, but he's really embraced it. He's been lights out off the bench. I mean, he's had some really big games for them. I think in the playoffs, like Rick Carlisle talked a little bit about it. The option to have that small ball lineup where you can play Obi and Pascal in the front court together, I think that's something that is going to be a weapon for them in the playoffs, and they're going to roll it out at different times. So I think there's a lot of guys that have been playing well, and obviously, like, seeing Tyrese round into form last night with a big 30-point game, that's what everyone wants to see. I mean, he's been an all-star, all-NBA level player all year long. He's going to lead the league in assists, but to see him really starting to play at the level he was, hopefully in that in-season tournament, again in the playoffs, and he's not a guy who's going to shy away from the big stage. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the playoffs in his first postseason.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think he's going to love this moment. We already saw how much he loved it with the in-season tournament. This is just going to get a little bit more intense because it is the playoffs, and I love how that level of intensity does rise and the competitiveness from both sides of, you know, from both teams, really, on both sides of the basketball. Like, you see a lot better defense, a lot better offense, and sometimes it's even worse offense because you have so much better defense, and it's just like it's a game of inches at that point where every mistake matters so much in the game for the playoffs. But, you know, Obi Toppin has been a guy that I've been very intrigued by recently, too. You know, I've asked a few questions about him in media just because I'm really curious, you know, what has kind of changed for him, because at the beginning of the year, I really wasn't sure how his fit was going to be with this team. And I really didn't love it at first with the starting five. I thought it was okay, but I did worry about the defense. I didn't know about his fit with Miles. It was kind of okay, but it wasn't like a final solution type thing. But the way he's really embraced this bench role, the month of April has been sensational for Obi, and it's just, he's shooting the leather off the basketball, and it's been so fun to watch him just, you know, not only be so efficient from outside, but being able to get into the paint and dunk and just kind of finish above the rim and put on a highlight reel, which we have not seen in a Pacers uniform in a very long time. Like, Oladipo had some flashy dunks, but nothing like Obi Toppin's, right? Paul George, probably the best dunker since Obi Toppin with this team in terms of, like, how often you would see them. I know there was, like, Gerald Greens and players like that that I could put a dunk on, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, Obi Toppin does add a different dynamic to this team that they haven't had probably in the past 15 years, maybe since you've been covering the team. I can't think of an athletic four that's been that good for this team in terms of, like, just being able to get above the rim like Obi Toppin has been for you know, previous Pacer teams that we've seen.
Yeah. I think bringing that juice off the bench is just, like, it's a perfect fit. And I think playing him a lot with McConnell too, like, he has great chemistry with Haliburton too, but playing with McConnell, playing with a guy who's also bringing energy off the bench, and, you know, you got Ben Shepherd out there flying around on defense. Like, those guys, they just play with so much energy, and that's what you really need from your bench. You know, they're not going to be playing 30 minutes a game, but in those 20, 25 minutes, or even if it's 15, if they can go out there and really just, like, do everything they can, leave it all on the floor, and maybe, like, swing games. I mean, they've really swung a lot of these wins, like, down the stretch, like the bench thing. The bench has led. They've led the league in bench scoring all season. But the bench, even losing Mathurin, the bench has been really, really, really good the last month. And it'll be interesting to see if that can carry over to the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm excited. So most of the time when I close out my podcast, like, I'll do like a draft of some sort for fun, or we'll talk about something random. So I'm gonna bring something random up for you, because being in the media room, it is interesting to see what's gonna be for dinner in the media room. And we know early games usually get waffles and things like that, but I'm kind of curious, what is maybe your go-to favorite meal that they provide for the media on game night? Because there's been some bangers, and there's been some I wish I had something else to eat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not a breakfast guy personally. I mean, yeah, it's going to be okay. I'm sure that's what it's going to be on Sunday. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm fine with having breakfast when we're in there at 11 a.m. It's like the 5-6 o'clock games when you're eating at like 4 o'clock and you're having breakfast for a second time that it bothers me. You know, like, the chicken tender night is normally fine. Like, it's tough to mess that up. Like, the Chinese night is a little underrated. Like, the Chinese food
menu. I haven't had that one yet.
Yeah, it's a solid one. The ice cream machine though is clutch. Just the fact that they have an ice cream machine, that's always a new addition with the renovations a couple years ago. That's a go-to. I'm sure that'll be a big go-to during the playoffs. And just the popcorn boxes are always great to just have a snack there. So shout out to Levy Restaurants. They do a good job keeping us fed. So
yeah, I will say, I mean, it's hard not to go back to the well when it comes to the ice cream machine. Like, I've really tried to maintain only getting one little cup, but it's very easy to go back and get a couple of rounds of that because the toppings are pretty killer too. I don't know if you put toppings on your ice cream, but they have some pretty good toppings.
Yeah, they do. We've got a guy on our video team. Shout out to Andrew Kim. He's always at the ice cream machine. We give him grief because he goes probably two times a game, but he loves the ice cream. He's probably the ice cream machine's number one user. So shout out to
Andrew. That's why it's always broken.
Yeah. He may have been responsible for that once or twice.
We were out of vanilla at the last game. It was chocolate only. So no twist there for everybody, but it's fun to be in the media. It's definitely cool to like just be able to see everybody that does all that work from behind the scenes. I know there's a lot of people that work for Pacers Sports and Entertainment and a lot of employees that just really make everything go around there. So it's really cool. And I really appreciate all the work you do, your professionalism, the way that you bring us the important stuff, the stats that, keep us, on our toes, because there's so many things out there, but I know that if there's a clutch moment in a game or a significant milestone in the season, I'm going to see a tweet from Wheat, just giving us the updates. So I really appreciate that, but go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you at on social media and plug anything you'd like to plug.
Yeah. You can find me at Wheat _Hotchkiss on Twitter, or X now, I should say. And then you can read all my work and Jordan Morey, Reagan Walsh, our other writers on Pacers.com. You can check us out also on FeverBasketball.com. Got a big draft coming on Monday on the Fever side. So if you don't have tickets for that, you can go to FeverBasketball.com/draft party. There's free tickets. We're having a big party at the Fieldhouse. Got the number one pick and excited for that one. And then on the Pacers side, for all the fans out there wanting your playoff tickets, there's a couple easy ways to do that. If you go to Pacers.com/tickets and you look at season ticket packages for the 2024-25 season, if you place a deposit for next year, you guarantee your seats for the playoffs for the entire run this postseason. Or if you sign up for our Insider email newsletter, which goes out once a week, you can sign up for that at Pacers.com/insider. You'll get pre-sale access when we do go on sale with single game tickets for the playoffs. So be sure to bookmark those links. We won't know exactly the opponent, the dates and times probably until Sunday night, but once we do, we'll get all of the information out on our social channels, on our website, about where you can go to get your playoff tickets. Excited to have the Fieldhouse back.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up and a lot of good ways to go out there and support the Pacers. And we, as you were saying, we won't know until Sunday night. It does feel like this is Selection Sunday for the NBA, so we're definitely getting that college vibe feel. But thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you around the Fieldhouse, and can't wait to see the Pacers in action in the playoffs once again. It's going to be a fun time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Alex.
All right, thanks, Wheat.